Memory Foam, a Cool Side of the Pillow spinoff show where Vince and Josh recount their wildest, silliest, and most out there dreams, and then talk a bunch of nonsense until they tire themselves out.
All right, Vince, so Memory Foam.
Episode one, spinoff.
Spinoff, back to basics, right? This is kind of like 101 CSP. Here's my dream. So we both love SNL, right? So I guess that it creeped into my dream world for me. And I was at an audition for SNL. And I'm standing backstage, you know, waiting for my turn. And like, I hear my heart is like thumping. It's just like, really intense, like boom, 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 boom. Like I was so nervous.
The rhythm of the night.
And I look out and I see Lorne Michaels. He's like seated in the shadows, and he's like, it looked like he's like holding like a little like espresso cup, and he's slowly like sipping it. Just
that was straight up liquor in there,
probably. But like he's just
high end,
like the top notch, right? It's got to
be. Or like vampire grade blood.
And he's like, it's like he's looking, you know, at this point, I know I'm coming out of the stage and he's looking at me, but I can't tell if he's looking at me or staring through me. It just felt really icy stare.
I mean, that means he likes you, I think.
Does it?
Mm-hmm.
I hope so. But
he's studying you.
He's studying me. Yeah. Cause this is my audition. Right. So then I kind of open with like an impression and I'm like, here's my take on a confused Paul Giamatti ordering a burrito. And then it's like I do my impression and it's silence and just some like light coughing, like, you know, like like in the background, nobody's laughing. So I just kind of keep plowing ahead like, oh, God. And I switch to another character. I'm like, all right, here's a character. Here's Toilet Guy. And it's just a guy who sits on a toilet and talks.
That's
I don't know if it's like Paul Handy meets Toilet. It says somebody sitting on the toilet.
That reminds me of what was it? Simon. You know, my name is Simon, and I like to do drawings. Are you looking at my bum, you cheeky bum looker? Who was that? Michael Myers.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah.
And there was a great one where it was him, and he'd like do little drawings. He's like, oh, I'm here on holiday, and here's a picture of, and we're in Nevada, and here's a picture of my daddy at the roulette table, and it shows like cops, and like they got him in like handcuffs or something, like it's a drawing he did.
Yeah.
And then like one of them had, what's his name? Danny DeVito, and he was in there too, and he's like, are you looking at my ass? You ass lookers, like just like you bum lookers. It's pretty good. Anyway.
Yeah. So I'm the toilet guy. And then somebody just drops a clipboard and I'm like, I try to pretend it's part of the bit. And I'm just, and then, you know, my time's up, but no one claps, but a voice says, interesting choices. That's all I hear. And I kind of like, I'm just like, uh-huh. And I'm trying not to cry. I feel like I'm going to cry in the dream. And I just, you know, I start to leave. And I trip over like a fake bush and I land in a pile of prop wigs.
Mm.
And one of them like clings to me and it's like, it's almost like, I don't know. It's like, it's auditioning too. It's weird. I don't know. I feel like that's like, it's a living thing all of a sudden. So I'm outside and I realize I forgot my coat and I go back like to get it. And there's just like, there's nobody there in the building and it's just a security guard and he's holding my coat up. He's like, better luck next dream.
Aw.
And I woke up.
So you mentioned security. Is that like someone who does security like for oceans?
Did I say it? I'll have to play that back.
I'm just being a smart ass.
Security. Security.
Security.
Yeah. Yeah. So what's your take, man? What do you think?
Oh man. I mean, I think that's based on I have a lot of the best ofs SNL DVDs. I've watched so many documentaries and behind the scenes things, whatever. I'm a little obsessed with it.
Okay.
Like my love for the show started when it was back on Comedy Central. They played reruns of it. So like when I was a kid, you know, like I don't know, around the age of like 8, 9, or 10 or something, I was watching, you know, classic SNLs. Like I was catching up on all the ones from like, you know, 75 and on and like the early 80s and stuff like that. So it's always and every Saturday night I was so excited. And if my grandparents let me stay up, that's what we watched. And to this day, I get excited and the end song where they all wave goodbye and the music's playing, I always kind of mist up and tear up a little bit. It's weird. It's just, I'm very connected to the show. It's been around as long as almost as long as I've been around, well, longer than I've been around, but my first conscious memories of like really liking stuff was like SNL and Simpsons and Batman 89 and all that. But anyway, what was your question? Cause I went off. on my love for SNL.
No, that's good. So I think that's why it's a good dream for you to interpret of mine. Like, what do you think this means?
I think, oh yeah, so ba okay, yeah, I started. So based off of like a lot of the interviews and stuff I've seen, that's pretty much what they said it feels like. Like it's very quiet, and even if it's something funny that like has landed in front of audiences, there won't be a peep.
Yeah.
But that shouldn't like mess you up, because it's almost like you love when I talk about wrestling, but like
Yeah.
Japanese, like NJPW wrestling, where like you watch and it's like, do people even realize what's going on? These guys are doing crazy shit and no one's applauding. Well, that's because they have respect. And like they're quiet, and if they see something incredible, they might like go, oh, or like clap a little bit. But you know, it's not all the wee that you get over here
The loud
that we tend to do.
Americans.
Yeah. Rah. So, you know, I think Lorne is a sophisticated person and he studies people. And you know, I think it's not necessarily a bad thing. I think if you heard him having a chit chat or conversation during your audition, it would be bad because obviously he would be phoning it out. One of the coolest things though that I feel like a lot of people who have said like I don't know how I got on SNL, I don't understand it, I'm not this type of a comedian, or I'm not this type of an actor, or I'm not this type of whatever, or I'm not a good writer or this or that, or I started as a writer and now I'm on it. Or
Yeah.
what Lorne looks for, he studies people and he finds people who are their most authentic selves.
Yeah.
And I think if you can stay true to that and you are an authentic person or a quote unquote character already, like you look at some of the people who you were like, Pete Davidson, what? But it's like, yeah, he's a very authentic person and that comes out. You look at like other past people, you know, someone like Tina Fey, like very unique. Amy Poehler, obviously, when she broke out from Upright Citizens Brigade, and how amazing she was in that. And you know, these are people who, Leslie Jones, like just these very authentic. You're like, there isn't anybody like this person.
I mean, Chris Farley, obviously Will Ferrell, those are the, top tier, but those guys are so themselves.
Yeah.
They're not pretending anything. That's
No, it's wonderful, and that's what he looks for, is authenticity. And I think maybe some of your dream was like the trepidation of being like, oh shit, like I have to deliver the goods. And a lot of times we're not our authentic selves when we're trying to think about like what would someone else want? You know, what does someone else think I need to be, or what should I be to be funny? When I think a lot of it is be your authentic self, be funny for yourself. Like that's what we do for our podcast too, is like we do this to make each other laugh. And if other people get it, great. And we try to be authentic. But I feel like a lot of people have maybe failed because they lost the script, so to speak. They got lost in the sauce and they're like, oh, let me, you know, I'm not very funny on my own, so let me pepper this more with that, you know. And it's like, if that's not who you are, like come with who you are. Like Tracy Morgan was a great example of that. Like I think he mentioned like he didn't think or couldn't believe that he was chosen. But the fact is he's such a genuine, authentic, unique human being that like Lorne knew. He knew how to mine that. He knew how to mine that talent. He's a great scout. So I think yeah.
So yeah, so you think you might be losing your way, but it just got to keep going with it.
Yeah, it's that internal struggle of I know what's funny to me. I know how to be my authentic self. How do I make that translate? I can either just tunnel vision it and do it the way I know, or I can pepper it a bit, or I can try to
Compromise or no?
compromise a bit. But I feel like if you compromise too much, you kind of shoot yourself in the foot.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, I was trying too much to be like Farley, or I was trying too much to have like Will Ferrell's timing. And you know, I mean, so many people are unique. Like there aren't people you can say, well, this guy's just like this guy, just like this guy, and just like this guy. Like there have always been those utility men, you know, like Phil Hartman or like Kenan Thompson, who can play so many different characters and they have such a range, but they're vastly different from each other. So
Right.
they're still authentic, even though they're like utility, or they can, and
Yeah.
utility is such a like not a great flattering word. They're Renaissance men. They're Renaissance men.
But you have to round out the cast though, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. 'Cause I mean that's the thing Lauren also has to do is he has to build it. Like if he had all a whole roster of Farleys, wouldn't be good. You need your
Yeah, you can't just have a bunch
Phil
of,
Hartman, you need your
yeah,
yeah.
you need that balance. And it was fascinating because like, so I have the DVD of like SNL, I think it's called like Lost and Found in the 80s, and they talk about that awkward season that I think it was like season 11 or something, where like, you know, from 75 to 80 you had, or 75 to 79 or 80, you had Lorne Michaels at the helm. And then Oh, who was the dude from like 80 to 85 who like almost ruined the show? Dick Ebersol, maybe? Or is that the wrong name?
Not sure. You can look it up, right? Real quick.
SNL.
You can find it. The internet has it,
I
Vince.
am. Let's see. Beep, bo, 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 bo. He had previously been the chairman. Da, da, da. He's an executive. I think this is the guy. He's got a lovely smile.
It's great for podcasts. You can see that smile right
You can
through.
see it. Saturday Night Live. Yep. Show's produced. So here's the thing. Like, I'm not trying to knock this guy because he's got a beautiful smile and looks like he's a family man. But he does. I mean, so many, but even when he's thoughtful, it's like, oh, he's a nice man. So I'm sure he's a lovely man. Maybe he's not. Who knows? But based off his pictures, he seems nice. But like 80 to 85, you can't just blame one person for ruining the show. But a lot of people are like, oh, Ebersol like destroyed the show. I think it's really hard. I think the thing is he tried to, like we said, like Lorne had a real eye for like authenticity. And I think Ebersol was like, how would Lorne do things? Like maybe there was a bit of that going on.
So he
And
was almost doing his imposter syndrome to a bit.
yeah, like, oh, how can I, sort of make this like how this would be funny? Like Ren and Stimpy. I know like John K is a monster and whatever, but like when he was gone, a lot of people admitted they were like, well, how would John K have done this
Yeah, or
episode?
Rick
And
and Morty.
with Roiland also, maybe we can bleep the name out, but I mean, he was so much a part of that show and also like Solar Opposites. And I'm glad they were able to pivot and get a kind of away from him. But I'm sure here and there's always that, how would he have done it? Or how. And it's good to keep that in mind, but I think sometimes you can just get so lost in that. And despite having people like Billy Crystal for like a season and like just some hard hitters, it wasn't enough to keep the show good. And then when Lorne finally came back, and it's like, oh, thank goodness, there was like a youth movement, which obviously is on that series on like Peacock and whatever. But like, they did a major misstep there. You know what I mean? Like having a bunch of like younger people, like they were barely featured. They didn't really know what to do with them. Like it's a lot easier if you have someone who's like middle aged, and it's also funnier if you have someone who's like middle aged or like 30s, 40s, whatever, who are like pretending to be younger kids, because that's funny. But when you have someone who's actually a young kid doing a young kid,
Yeah.
unless you're doing like a really cool character, it's like, then it sort of falls flat. And it's kind of the same thing that like Damon Wayans complained about when, he was like, they just had me playing a lot of like very flat characters, or hey, we need a black guy, so you're in here, but you don't have any good lines or compelling characters. And he was his authentic self to a detriment. He was like, oh, I, you know, because he was playing like a cop character and he was tired and wanted to just quit the show. So he's like, oh, I'm gonna give him a little bit of a lisp, a little bit of sass, and you can't go off the script like that. So they let him go, which was probably the best thing for him. And they let a lot of the cast go, which is probably the best thing for the show, because they were like, all right, let's keep John Lovitz, who is amazing. Let's keep him because he's great. There were a couple other, I wish I could think of her name, but there were a few that they kept, very few from that cast. And then they added people like Hartman, and so it got so much better, and it was so much more authentic because these were people who were their authentic selves and were meant to be on the show. Whereas it was like, I want to say Lorne, he was desperate or whatever, but he was trying to do something new. Like maybe he saw what Ebersol did and was like, Ebersol tried to recreate the wheel that I'm, or tried to replicate what I did, and that didn't work. If I replicate what I did and he did, that's not going to work. So let me try something totally different and have a bunch of like youngins on and whatever else. And he had some groundbreaking stuff too. He had the guy who was the first openly gay cast member. And that was an incredible, awesome thing. And he obviously he was his true authentic self. But the show just felt super off. It was
Maybe
off
forced.
when Lorne wasn't around, and that first year, that season 11 or whatever it was. It was off. It wasn't until he realized, here are the core people I need, like Lovitz, and now let's kind of start fresh with a lot of these other people. So like, I remember like, Dennis Miller and Kevin Nealon and like so many of these other just Jan Hooks, I think, was with Lovitz when they, I could be wrong, but she was awesome. And oh, I'm not gonna cheat and look up names, but
No, it's okay. Look it up.
it'll come to me as soon as we're done talking, like all the names of people. But yeah, man, I just think that there are times too when we're so afraid of authenticity because we're like, well, this is just the same old me. There's nothing special about it.
Oh, that's interesting.
But there's always something special about authenticity, you know? So I think you need to always be changing a little bit and evolving, but you have to keep most of what that authenticity is. And it's hard to know what it is and where it comes from. Sometimes it takes a misstep to realize, like, okay, that didn't work, so I'm going to stick to my sensibilities again and not have a bunch of young kids or whatever on the show. And we're going to see what happens. And, you know, once that season 11, that awkward season was done, like, it was awesome. I mean, we got like Hans and Franz, we got like Dennis Miller doing the news, we got then we got like Kevin Nealon eventually doing the news. And,
Yeah.
you know, with that kind of cast that started phasing out, then Farley came in and Sandler. And, you know, people can say what they want about, like, you know, oh, those were, and there were some not great sketches with Farley. Like, people tend to look at it with rose-colored glasses, and like, oh, everything Farley did and everything Sandler did and Tim Meadows and all them was hilarious.
Right.
And yes, but there were also sketches that were like duds and like flopped, and they were still trying to figure things out because, like, the 90s were like really punctuated with a lot of sarcasm and Generation X stuff. And so that's a thing that you want to tap into, but you got to do it in an authentic way. I'm going to stop saying the word authentic, but yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's, also a long, I was thinking about this. I saw a clip when they're, how they have the host coming on if they've hosted before. Now with social media, they play clips from when they were on before, right? Like,
Yeah.
and it's funny if they hosted with a whole different set of cast members. And I was watching, I'm like, oh man, like it's funny when you look back and watch it with an old cast of people, because it's almost like you're watching Friends at that point, and people you don't really know. So the rose colored glasses come on and you kind of watch it and you're like, oh man, yeah, it's Jay Farrow, Leslie Jones, I don't know, was it Bobby Moynihan maybe at that time? But anyway, like, it's all these different people, and you're like, even if the sketch wasn't good when you first watched it, it's somehow when you go back and watch it, it's like watching old Friends, and somehow it's the nostalgia and the happy, like seeing that creeps in. So like you kind of, yes, certain ones are like, yeah, a classic one right off the bat, maybe, cowbell, right? More cowbell. Like, I think that was funny out of the gate, and that's funny. It still pretty holds up pretty well, at least for me. But like,
Oh, yeah.
there might be ones that weren't even that funny, or you found funny, or it's your sensibility. But watching back is what I'm getting at, is that you watch back sometimes and you just see the people you recognize that are no longer cast members. And it's really neat. Like, you just like, oh, it's like an old friend. So
Yeah.
what I wanted to ask you, Vince, with all this said, and Lorne Michaels, what do you think will
Ooh, could
happen?
I hate to do this, but I'm looking up names now. So it was a different lady, and I'll try to figure out what her name is, but like, yeah, Gilda Radner was amazing, as well. But like Jan Hooks, I don't, she wasn't, I don't believe she was part of the season 11, the awkward season 11. She might have been, but there's another lady I'm thinking of. But one of the times I remember that I laughed the absolute hardest at a sketch was like, it was like a Calvin Klein or a cleaning thing commercial where it was like her and Phil Hartman and Dana Carvey was like, you know, she has, it's like an OCD something, or let me see, what is it? OCD cleaning sketch. Hang on, let's see. Compulsion cologne. So compulsion cologne. It was the sketch, and like Dana Carvey just doing like the voiceovers of like she was complicated and whatever. She was beautiful, but you know she was like ruined by the fact that she had to clean so much. And like his little spots were hilarious, and like Phil Hartman's like love of her and interest in her and whatever. And the line that had me dying laughing as a kid, and I was like, if I explain this to other kids, they're gonna be like, you're stupid, this isn't funny. But I think it helped shape some of my comedic sensibilities, is when he said something like, oh, that it looks like that stain is fine, it looks like you cleaned it already. And she's like, liar. Like, I still I think that's so, like, And that's stuck in my mind. So now anytime someone's like, I think this thing looks pretty good, or oh yeah, it's clean, or whatever, you know, right away I just think of Jan Hooks being like, liar. That was definitely worth interrupting you. Sorry, go ahead. What was your
No,
question?
Robert Downey Jr., I forgot, like
Yeah.
Joan Cusack,
Yep.
Anthony Michael Hall.
Yeah, Michael Hall and Robert Downey Jr., like they were young and incredibly talented, but like they were like, what are we doing here? Like,
Yeah.
what's going on? Like they didn't really have a lot for them. They were pigeonholed as young people, and I feel like the one dude who was the first gay cast member, like openly gay, he was sort of pigeonholed too a bit, you know? Where it's like you can have anybody portray a gay character, right? Like it doesn't have to be the guy who happens to be gay.
Yeah.
But I feel like they pigeonholed things so much that it's like there's not a lot of versatility that they gave a lot of the people in that season, especially not Damon Wayans. It's like you've got a gold mine.
Terry Sweeney.
Terry Sweeney. Yes. Yep. That's the guy. Hang on, I'm gonna figure it out. Season 11 SNL. I'm just gonna cheat here and
It's okay. You're not cheating. You're saying you're.
show me more. Nora Dunn. That's who I was thinking of. They kept Nora Dunn, John Lovitz, and Dennis Miller. And they pretty much got rid of everybody else. But like those three right there, I mean, you have Weekend Update, you've got, you know, Nora Dunn, who was incredibly funny, and John Lovitz, who's like one of the greatest of all time. So I mean, it's crazy too, though. They had people like Randy Quaid, who definitely has chops, but like his comedic sensibilities and stuff maybe were more meant for movies versus sketch comedy.
Right. Not everything translates to the same stuff. Like you could be a brilliant writer, but you're not a great actor or what. I don't
Yeah.
know. So I want
Yeah, or you can have it all, like Tina
to,
Fey.
yeah. Oh, Tina. I want to ask you then, who brings, maybe it's Tina Fey, maybe it's Colin Jost. Who do you think's going to take the helm once Lorne Michaels is done? Because he's getting up there, right? And somebody kind of has to take over. I mean, I don't
Yeah.
know enough of the, I guess, of the behind the scenes stuff. Is there somebody already within the wings waiting?
I don't
But I feel
know.
like you gotta have somebody that's somewhat younger, not like 20s, I'm not saying young, but like somebody's gonna be able to take it for 20 or 30, 40 years, maybe more. Do you have a thoughts on that? Who that might be? Do
Yeah.
you have rumors? Have you heard anything?
Well, here's the thing too. I mean that those are huge shoes to fill with Lorne Michaels, and I don't want to see the show go away once he goes away, but I also don't think that you necessarily need someone to be there for like super duper long. Like, I mean, if you look at like The Price is Right, Bob Barker was there forever, and now it's Drew Carey. He's been there for a long time now, like decades now, 10,
Yeah.
15 years, maybe 20. I don't know, long time. But
Probably.
like, I feel like it would be nice because it kind of keeps things more consistent. Like with The Simpsons, with like seasons like 2 through 9, where like it was a very consistent group, and then once that consistent group kind of started to leave, it had a hard time. So I think it's better if you have someone who's in for more of a longer haul to kind of keep consistency going. I don't think it's
Yeah.
absolutely necessary. You might have someone who hosts for a few years and then they peace out, and hopefully they can keep it consistent or grow and make it even better. But it'll be interesting to see who takes over. Like, wouldn't it be crazy if it was somebody like Conan O'Brien? He's
That's a great name.
Jon Stewart.
Yep.
You know, maybe Seth Meyers, you know,
There you go. Well, I said Colin Jost or Tina Fey.
Amy Poehler, yeah, Tina. I mean, they're all huge shoes to fill. And I feel like if someone is a bit reluctant to take it on, maybe they could just have a, you know, a co-producer with them, or it could be a group. Like, how cool would it be to have like, hey, Tina Fey, Amy Poehler, you know, and Will Ferrell are the ones now that are behind the scenes doing the Lorne Michaels thing.
Yeah.
You know, maybe it's a little team. Maybe it's not just one. I don't want, he's obviously not a figurehead, but one like mastermind. You know, maybe you don't just have one mastermind. You kind of have multiple. But him being around, you could tell, like when he was gone, the show was like about dead, and the show needed him. I think it still needs him. But you know, obviously mortality, he's not going to live forever. Even though, like I joked, he drinks vampire blood, and that probably has increased his life expectancy
Sure.
tremendously.
Yeah.
No, none of that. I admire that guy because created one of my favorite things ever. But yeah, I think I don't know, whoever it's going to be, they're going to have that comedic sensibility. It can't just be a dude like Dick Ebersol again, where it's like, oh, I've produced some things. Ha ha. Here you go. I'm going to fart some shit out. It has to be like a Bobby Moynihan would be great. You know, he was one of my all-time favorites.
So the one thing I want to say right there is like Lorne Michaels also like dodges the spotlight, where all the people we just named are in the spotlight, very much like chase it to some degree or are very good in front of it. So I wonder, like, is there one of those people? Like, I keep thinking like Tina Fey might be one of the best choices because she's obviously so versatile in every angle, but she's not like, she doesn't seem like she's thirsty for it, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and she was in the background for so long.
Maybe Colin Jost too, a little bit too, right?
Yeah,
That's why I
same
think
with
maybe.
Colin. They were both in the background for and Seth Meyers. They were all writers, or John Mulaney.
Oh yeah. There's a great name.
They were all writers for a long time, and they were kind of like in the shadow, so to speak. I don't think it should be a thing. I don't think it should be a thing where it's like the person who is in charge of SNL or behind the scenes or the mastermind necessarily has to be reclusive or elusive or in the shadows. They could be both, but I feel like they have to take a back seat and let the talent be featured more than they are, because it could really just be an ego trip of a show. Oh, it's the Tina Fey hour. It used to be SNL, but now I call the shots and I'm in it constantly, or like I'm constantly interjecting, and it's like we get it. Like I like how you see Lorne Michaels makes it count when you see him. You know, it's a random silly thing or whatever, but it's not like
Especially with
every
those
single
digital
episode.
shorts.
Yeah, it's not like every single episode where he's has to be peppered in or mentioned.
No,
I
right.
like that. So I think whoever takes the helm, they have to realize, hey, I can be a little, if I want to be a little more present, a little more out there, I can, but I don't want to take shine away from a cast who already they have to struggle to get airtime and all the stuff that they're up against in terms of like, you know, do the writers have things for them? Have they written things that are compelling enough? Are they good enough? You know, because sometimes you can write something awesome, but you can't perform it yourself. You need somebody else. So it'll be interesting to see. I hope he sticks around as long as he wants to. When it's his time to be like, hey, I want to relax and do my own thing. You know, absolutely. Like he deserves his flowers, and he deserves his walk off into the sunset and everything else. It'll be interesting to see though who they get and what they're going to be like. If they're going to be like, hey, it's me, I'm in the spotlight, look at me, or if they're going to be reclusive or a mix of both, or if it's a team, or if I think it has to be someone who's quote unquote in the business. You got to have someone who's somehow involved with comedy.
Yeah, I think some of those
If
names you
it's
said too, like who have some
are
pedigree in the
great
show.
contenders. Yeah. But you can't just have some random executive who like, I managed a Target. I'm producing SNL now. Like, that's okay if that's one of the producers. But for like the person at the helm, you gotta have someone who's got some comedic sensibilities and some teeth in the game.
Now, do you think that he should, like, I wonder what would be better? You know, obviously, you'd want him to retire and have some time to, like, enjoy retirement, if it's even in his DNA. I don't know, he might be one of those people works till he dies. But I wonder, like, if he was, say it was whomever takes over, and then they're like, oh, he's still around. I want his opinion, or I don't know if I should do this. Or he's gone. I wonder if it would be easier. He's gone, and they're just like, well, I don't know if Lauren would have done this, but this is what I'm doing, versus like, oh, I'm gonna run this by Lauren. You know what I
Oh
mean?
yeah.
Because that could also get things muddied up a little bit, but I guess that you don't really have control over that.
No, it's tough. And then like also in this ever-changing landscape too, you get more pressure from your advertisers. They're like, we'll advertise, but don't mention this taboo subject or this thing on this particular episode, or don't. So you've got a lot to contend with. And sometimes you have someone who's like, oh, we're gonna give you a very lucrative deal, but you gotta like kind of shamelessly plug us.
Yeah, that could
So
really muddy the
that's
waters
tough.
there too. Well, onward and upward.
Indeed, indeed.
Thanks for doing some memory foam with me, Vince.
Course, this will not be the last. We'll do another at some point soon.
Yeah, let us know in the comments, to comment to us on social media. Follow us on Cool Side of the Pillow Pod official. Yeah, comment and let us know who you think should take over SNL. And Who should take over Vince? Wait, what? That doesn't make sense.
That doesn't have to.